I'd like to take this time to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary, the beautiful sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. I'd like to also take a moment and say our beautiful altar flowers are sponsored by Melissa and Joe Wilson in memory of Betty and Bill Wilson. And your ears picking this up on the airwaves are being sponsored. The radio sponsor is by Dee Hess in honor of her 45th wedding anniversary. Here at Trinity United Methodist Church, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. In a few moments, we are going to have a wonderful sermon by Pastor Angel Armstrong, and the title of that sermon is called Amazing Faith. But before that, I'm going to build the foundation of her sermon with our scripture reading. It is found in Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to set up myself, just like everyone else, looking for that right now. And it is on page 1022 in your pew Bible for those of you who are worshiping with us. The faith of the centurion. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent home elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thanks be to God. This particular passage reminds me of my grandson, Xander Yackel, who just finished boot camp and a higher level of training. That kid has always had an amazing, amazing faith. When he was a little boy, he would have his mama call me, whether it was monsters in the closet or whether it was a friend who needed Jesus. And he would ask to have Nana pray. And he would tell his mom, I know Jesus will answer. All his mama had to do was pick up the phone, and she would ask him, "Xander, do you want to talk to Nana?" And he would say, no, it's okay. I know Jesus has got this. He will take care of it. You know, faith is the assurance of things not seen. Faith can be a soldier's backbone. Faith gives us courage to stand. I think of all of the men and women. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating the 4th of July. And if you know me at all, I have the highest respect for our servicemen and women who serve our country. A new soldier gets ready to go to school for jumping out of an airplane. I know, who's going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane? But this soldier was ready. He goes up there to paratrooping school. He jumps out of the plane. He does a great job. They're all standing at attention in uniform, looking bright. And along comes the drill sergeant, looking each of them up and down, dressing each of them up and down. And he looks at this young man and he says, "Soldier, your blouse is frayed." There was a little tear on his pocket. And the soldier, only hearing a comment about his uniform, turned around and looked at him and said, "Sir, this uniform isn't afraid of anything." Our young men and women in service are strong and courageous. They tend to be full of bluster, full of assurance, and full of confidence. I spent many years on a naval base watching the groups of them run. They would go running by, marching, singing the whole time, their shirts off, their muscles rippling, their tattoos, proud of who they were, proud of the country they served. It's a shame that we all can't have that same kind of pride. Who we are in Christ is what we should carry with us. Love of country, love of Christ Jesus. It turns my stomach inside out when people won't stand for our flag. When you think about all that our men and women have done, I dated a corpsman in Nam, and I remember he would wake up. He took a nap on our couch one day, and I came into the living room, and he is crouched in the corner with his hands over his ears, and he's walking back and forth. I learned then that it's never a good idea to talk to somebody who is struggling with PTSD issues. Later, I spoke to him, and I said, "John, what was happening?" And he said, "I can't handle it. Every time I close my eyes, I hear them screaming." I said, "Who?" He said, "The men and women on the fields. They were screaming because I was out of morphine. I had nothing that could help them." This soldier that we're talking about, he ranks that of a sergeant major in today's army. He commands over 100 people. He was the backbone of Caesar's army. More importantly, he was commended by Christ Jesus. And for that, we must all sit up and take notice. What did Christ Jesus commend him for? Was it his sense of mercy? This particular soldier had a sense of mercy. Let's face it, soldiers are trained to kill. And some of them do it with great relish. Some of them are proud of the arms that they bear. Some of them have pride in that uniform for the wrong reasons. This man did not. He had a sense of mercy. This centurion believed that his servant was worth saving. He did not treat the servant as if he was an object. Servants in that day and age, if there was something wrong with them, they were immediately cast out to die. For they served a purpose, they served a function, like a bicycle, like a car. And if it wasn't working, they were cast out. This particular soldier recognized that this servant had great value. And he petitions Jesus for his healing. During the American Civil War, Federals threw themselves against the Confederate Federations at Fredericksburg, Virginia. where my other two grandsons were born shortly outside of there. If you have never been to Virginia and seen the history of our country there, I invite you to go. There is history of the beginning of our country. There is history of the Great Civil War there. It is everywhere, every street corner. They uphold those who fought for our liberties and our freedoms. Thousands and thousands of boys died on what they call the killing fields there. They were shot and injured, and they begged for water. They begged for first aid. And the men on both sides, fearing being shot themselves, hid in their bunkers. But there was one man in a gray uniform that took great mercy upon all the soldiers. He went around and he gathered up canteens, and he crawled out there, and he gave those boys what comfort could be given to them. He gave them water. He prayed with them. They have a statue erected to Sergeant Richard Kirkland, who came out there, a man dressed in gray who gave comfort to all of the bluecoat dying Federals. Sergeant Kirkland himself was killed in action months later. But years and years and years later, Virginia remembers him with a statue placed in his memory. Mercy is something we should all strive for, whether it is for one another, whether it is for family and friends, whether it is for strangers, whether it is for our enemies. We should have mercy upon those who are struggling. A sense of decency. This centurion was an officer in the Roman army occupying Israel. He was their overlord. They were vanquished. Yet his lips were curled in a sneer. He was not wielding over them, but he was above them, in command of them. He had a sense of mercy. His visage, his features, his countenance showed mercy and decency. The Romans considered all religions as failure. Yet they were a form of control. And you know, throughout the years, we have witnessed that even the Catholic Church at one point used religion as a form of control. The priest and the kings got together. If you did not do what they said, your children were not baptized. You were excommunicated. You did not receive the rite of unction upon the deathbed. Beloved, this should not be. Our relationship, our faith, and our trust in Jesus Christ is built upon so much more than religion, so much more than tradition. It is built upon a faith that Jesus Christ will always be there for us whenever we need him. This man, this centurion, was more than just casually respectful to the Jewish laws. He had even built a synagogue for the local Jews. So when it came time for him to call for a Jewish friend to go and find this Jesus he had heard about and ask Jesus to come, that Jewish friend had no problem doing it. He went to Jesus and he said, "This man is good. He has a sense of decency and mercy. He has built a synagogue for us. He has faith and trust and belief in us." Vulnerability and humility are two of the greatest character traits that we can possess. True humility is not always thinking higher of others. It's thinking less about ourselves and thinking more about others. How can we serve others? How can we pray for others? How can we come alongside of others? And vulnerability shows that we are willing to model that vulnerability, that we are willing to say that we need help, that we need one another, that we function better. God created us to be interdependent. In today's society, we are far too independent. We are either far too independent or we are codependent. We don't need anybody, or we depend upon everybody else for everything. We were created to live in community, helping one another, lifting one another up, being honest about the things that we struggle with so that we can pray for one another. This man had an extraordinary sense of humility. He is humble enough to ask Jesus for help. He knows how to kill in battle. But does he know how to heal? No. He knows how to fight, but he does not know how to care for someone else. All of a sudden, he is drop-kicked. Have you ever been drop-kicked by humility? Drop-kicked to your knees, gut punched, and knowing that you are not worthy of something. He has called for Christ to come and heal this servant. He had a friend that went after him, and he is drop-kicked to his knees, and he says, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You see, this soldier also understood that if Christ Jesus came to him, he would be considered unclean. And he did not want Jesus defiled in that manner. He says, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy for you to come. But I am a man of authority as well. He was a soldier. Jesus was a minister. He was a killer. Jesus was a healer. He said, all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus stopped dead in his tracks and turned around, looked at the man talking to him. He said, in all my time, I have never seen such great faith. That man will be healed. Return back to the soldier whose slave is now healed. Because that man had faith. We need mercy. We need decency. Lord knows we need decency in this country. We need humility and we need vulnerability. But the most important thing any of us can have is faith. We have to be very, very careful with this story. We have to note what truly impressed Jesus. It wasn't the centurion's respect for authority. It wasn't that he built a synagogue. It wasn't his mercy or his humility. It was his faith. He said, you just command it and it will happen. Like my grandson has a little boy. Mama, call Mama and have her pray for me. I know Jesus will do it. I know Jesus will do it. Do you know that? Do you know? Do you have that kind of faith to know that when you pray in Jesus' name, according to His will, that He will answer any prayer according to our faith? We do not purchase our faith, our relationship with God by offering money, by doing mighty deeds, or by doing good works, not even by good character, although all these things are asked of us. All of these things are asked of us. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Faith in Jesus will save us. Relationship with Jesus will save us. Being in the Word, that's a good thing. Good character, that is a good thing. Decency, humility, those are good things. But it is faith alone that will save us. Maybe you don't happen to have any mercy. Maybe you wonder about your sense of decency. No worries. It is faith that Christ Jesus counts on from us in matters of life and death. Do you have faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Anointed One? He may not answer your prayer in the way that you want prayed. You may pray on your face for months, for years, for healing, for the prodigal to come home, and it might not be answered in the time frame that you want, in the way that you want, but you will never be alone during that prayer, during that time. Your faith in Jesus Christ will sustain you. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and my bestest friend on the whole world, the Holy Spirit, honors our faithful trust in God alone. Beloved, God honors faith, not our works, not our character, though they count. Our faith in Christ alone changes things.